We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thanks so much, Dave. And again, great to have you along for another edition of Yesteryear. On today's program, it's Adventure with Hopalong Cassidy. But before we head out west, let's head out to Summerfield and enjoy some time with old Gildy himself, the great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve was created by Harold Perry while working on Fibber McGee and Molly in Chicago. The character became so popular that in 1941, Gildersleeve broke away for his own Sunday night NBC time slot in August of that year. For 13 years, the program was sponsored by Kraft Foods, switching to Wednesday nights in 1946 and continuing there until 1954. When the program approached its 10th anniversary, Harold Perry grew tired of the role and eventually dropped it. Into Perry's shoes came Willard Waterman, whose interpretation was so much like the original, it was startling. For its 1954-55 season, the program was a daily 15-minute offering with each episode loosely connected. The show returned to 30 minutes in 1955, where it continued until 1958. Here now, from January of 1942, Gildy gets arrested as a car thief. It's the Great Gildersleeve on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bowe. I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on Jack Armstrong, Burton Marr, Jameis, and
Gildersleeve. Each week at this time, from Hollywood, California, Kraft presents Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by Leonard L. Levinson. And now let's visit our friend, the Great Gildersleeve, who has, as you know, a nephew named Leroy, who has, as you probably don't know, four rabbits, named respectively Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and possibly Moe. Right now, they are preparing to go to Fairview, where Leroy is to represent his school at the Junior Rabbit Breeder Show, and all six of them are quite hopped up about the trip.
Now, take it easy, Leroy. Just be calm, like me. No use getting all excited about this. Not at all. Where's my briefcase?
Under your arm, Unc.
What? Oh, yes. How did it ever get there? Now about my suitcase. Handkerchiefs, socks, Birdie.
Yes, Miss Gilsey.
Never mind. I found him.
Found what, Miss Gilsey?
His socks. Well, where about?
I found him.
Well, why shouldn't you? There's right there all the time.
Yes, I know.
He found him.
Then why call me?
Because I couldn't find him.
But I thought you said...
Oh, never mind. Yeah, my goodness, anybody think we'd never gone any place before?
Well, it's pretty exciting for me, Uncle Mort. Baby, 300 miles. Jeepers.
Leroy, you talk like you'd been chained up in the coal cellar all your life. Didn't you fly to California and back last year?
Well, sure, Unc.
Yes, son. We automotored all over the 47 states 2 years ago.
There are 48 states, Bertie.
Yes, I know that. But when we was in Florida, they never heard of California. And when we was in California, the visa was personal.
Well, anyway, Leroy, you've done a great deal of traveling for a boy your age, and Another 300 miles shouldn't mean any more than going down to the corner on Saturday morning for the Sunday morning papers.
But creepers, Uncle Mort, we're going on the train. I never been on a train.
Oh, my goodness, modern youth. Why, when I was just a baby, I can't seem to find my military brushes. Where are they, Bertie?
I put them in your happy rock bag, Mr. Gildersleeve.
In my what?
Bertie, could you perchance mean Gladstone bag?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, happy rock. Well, I guess that's everything. Hey, wait a minute. Leroy?
Yes, Uncle?
Did you mail that letter I gave you last night?
Which letter? Oh, well, yes, of course I did.
Good. It was to Cousin Flora, telling her and her husband we're coming to stay with them while we're in Fairview. Won't they be surprised?
Why? Why, Uncle Mort?
Well, because it's an answer to a letter they sent fishing around for an invitation to visit us.
Good thing they ain't coming this week with Miss Marge out of town at that Red Cross training school.
Yes. Well, are you sure you've got everything you need, Leroy?
Positive.
Say, if you're going to be on that train when it leaves, you better get mobilized. Where's your rabbits, Leroy?
Out in the hall in that wooden box. The manual training class built it especially for them.
Well, they did a bum job, Leroy. That box is full of holes.
Yep. Holes? Well, that's so the little creatures won't get asphyxiated, Bertie.
Yes, it'll help them breathe, too. shall I call up and get you a taxi?
Taxi? No, thank you, Bertie. We can pick up one at the drugstore. If we can't, it'll be the first thing I haven't been able to get at that drugstore. Come on, Leroy, let's get going.
Okay, Unc. So long, Bertie. Don't let any Japs get you.
Quit picking on us South Sea folks, Leroy.
Hey, come on, young man. I'll take the suitcases. You bring that crate of clover crunches. If Marjorie gets back to town before we do, Bertie, you tell her where we went.
Yes, sir. I'll tell her that you had to act as a convoy for a bunch of dumb bunnies. And then she'll say...
Never mind. I know what you say. Goodbye.
Bye, Bertie.
Bye, Miss Gilsey. Bye, Leroy.
I hope we haven't forgotten anything, Uncle Mort. Have you got the tickets?
Yeah, the tickets. Don't be ridiculous. Tickets. Oh, wait a minute. I better look to make sure. Yes, here's the envelope. Yo, Great Caesar's ghost.
What's wrong, Uncle Mort?
Look, here's my letter to Cousin Flora. I must have sent her the railroad tickets. Oh, now she'll think I want her and that loud husband of hers to come here.
Oh, gee, now how are we going to get to Fairview? Does this mean we're not going?
Now, wait a minute. Don't rattle me, Leroy. Don't rattle me. If no time to get reservations. If the next train won't get us there in time. Oh, for what a thick head I turned out to be.
Say, Unc, how about driving?
Yes, it's driving me. Wait a minute. Driving? Why, of course. Let's get the car. Come on. We can put the rabbits in the rear compartment, load up on gasoline, and beat the train to Fairview. That was a fine suggestion. You're a bright boy, Leroy.
Gee, I don't know about that, Unc. I just suggested myself out of my first ride on a railroad train.
How far is it to the next town, Leroy?
Well, according to the sign we passed 10 miles ago, it's 3 miles. While according to the map, it's 6. But according to all the houses around here, we're almost there.
Thank goodness. I hope the road gets better from here on. So far, it's been terrible. It's had more hairpins than a dime store. What's more, it's full of Charlie holes.
Don't you mean Chuck holes, Uncle Mort?
Yes, but this is a road I don't want to become familiar with, Leroy.
Yeah, we haven't hit a straight stretch for hours.
That's right. For every mile forward that we go, we travel 2 from side to side and 3 up and down. This isn't a road, it's a La Conga line. Why, when I think of... We almost went in the ditch that time.
Why don't you try driving in the ditch? It might be smoother.
Yes. Leroy, this is no time to horse around. Well, if there was a horse around, I'd trade it in for this car.
You know, I'm getting kind of hungry.
Hungry? Well, so am I. Strange how much exercise you can get just bouncing up and down, isn't it?
Let's stop and eat at the next stop and eat.
It's all right. That place up ahead doesn't look bad. However, we're so far behind schedule, let's just get some sandwiches to eat along the way. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Come on, Leroy.
I'm right with you, Unc.
Oh, my. And to think if we hadn't mailed those tickets, we'd have been sitting in a comfortable train counting the telephone poles instead of dodging them. Yeah. Let's sit here at the counter, eh?
Tired, Uncle Mort?
Just my eyes, Leroy. Funny, I'd swear I was seeing gravy spots in front of them.
That's easy, Unc. You're looking at the waiter's apron.
Yeah? Oh, of course, yeah, that's it. What'll you have, Leroy?
Ham sandwich.
Same thing for me, waiter, and we'll take them with us. Say, look, they've got cherry pie, Leroy. Would you care for a slice?
No, thanks, Unc. After that road we were on, I couldn't stand anything else with pits in it.
Now, how long did it take you to drive from Fairview, Mr. Toby?
Oh, about 7 hours, McGuire.
this rate, I should be in Summerfield by 10 o'clock tonight.
Excuse me, gentlemen, but I couldn't help overhearing that last remark. Don't count on getting to Summerfield by 10 o'clock tonight, sir.
No, why not?
Because these blasted roads are in a blasted condition.
Oh, you don't like our roads, eh?
Now, McGuire, take it easy. What's wrong with our roads?
What is it? And you take it easy, too, mister. Don't get angry at me just because I warned you about that collection of bumpy ruts ahead of you.
I accept that as a personal insult, sir.
Gee whiz, is it your road?
Well, I'm the superintendent of road maintenance for this section, and this is State Highway Commissioner Toby.
Yeah? What am I supposed to do, get down on my hands and knees and bump my head on the floor?
What?
If you think I'm going to back up and crawl, Commissioner, you're mistaken. I've done all my backing up and crawling for the day on that blankety-blank road of yours this afternoon.
Say, I don't like your attitude.
And I don't like your highway. Looks like it was surveyed through the bottom of a beer bottle. Yes, and built by a hillbilly with the hiccups.
Now, look here, you're doing Mr. McGuire an injustice.
Yeah.
He and his men have been constructing that road for the past 6 years.
I know that. I saw the signs all along the way. Slow men at work.
Well, that's enough. I'm going to hand this guy a face full of fish. Let me at him.
Here's our sandwiches, Leroy. Mister, you're mighty lucky we're in a hurry. Come on, Leroy, let's stop tearing down the commissioner's highway and start tearing down the commissioner's highway.
Okay, I'm coming. Gee, you certainly told him off, didn't you?
Yeah, did you see the look on that guy McGuire's face?
Well, ain't you going to finish your stay, Commissioner?
No, the mood's gone. I might as well get started. Oh, waiter, the check.
No. Let me pay for it.
No.
Yes.
Well, all right.
Here you are, waiter. Keep the change. Now, Commissioner, don't let that big blimp get your goat. What does a mug like that know about the heartaches of building roads?
Yes, you're right, McGuire. Say, I thought I parked my car about here.
Are you sure?
Well, I think so. I remember it was near this truck.
Here it is, Commissioner.
That's strange. Could someone have moved it? Hey, hold on a minute, Mac. That isn't my car.
It ain't. Certainly looks like it.
Sure, it's same make, same model, same color, but those aren't my official license plates.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, now I wonder who could have been so chuckle-headed as to pull a trick like this.
Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
That's the name of the bird that owns this car. Here's his registration certificate.
Well, we got to get that car of mine back, McGuire. We got to send out a police warning over the radio to the highway patrol.
Sure, Commissioner. We'll get it back all right. You needn't worry. You get excited.
You don't understand. There's been a rock slide on the road near Summerfield and an emergency, and I've got 100 pounds of explosives in the rear compartment of my car.
You notice how much more pep the car seems to have now, Leroy? I really get a bang out of driving a car with oomph.
Yeah, careful of that bunk, Bunk.
Huh? Yes. Oh. Quite a bounce, wasn't it? I can't get over how much better the car runs. If it keeps up like this, it'll feel as if we had wings, Leroy. Hold on, here comes Kurt.
You better go easy on those tires, Unc.
Huh?
Remember, you can't get any new ones until the FBI investigates you and finds out you're an ambulance or something.
Yes. Well, these tires are good for thousands of miles yet, Leroy.
Oh?
Hey, these roads. I hope that didn't hurt any of our little cottontail cuties in the rear there. Well, I guess they're well padded.
Yeah, I can hear the box bouncing up and down.
You can?
Maybe I better get it and hold it in my lap.
No, don't do that. They'll be happier if they don't get a look at this road. Besides...
Look out for that red lantern.
What red lantern? Oh, that red lantern. No wonder I couldn't see it. A big pile of dirt behind it, Leroy. Well, here's the end of the detour. Now I'm really going to hit it up. And Leroy...
Yes, Uncle Mort?
I want you to keep a sharp lookout in back. If you see any highway patrol cars with red lights flashing and cops in them, you just nudge me. Understand?
Yes, Uncle Mort.
You're good. I don't expect to get... Oh, Leroy, don't bump me.
That wasn't a bump, Bunk. That was a nudge.
Nudge? Oh, my goodness. Yes, now I can see him. I better stop, eh? I can't imagine what in the world I've done.
Well, Uncle Mort, I have an idea.
Be quiet, young man. Oh, here they come. Good evening, boys.
Good evening, Chief.
Chief?
Shh, he thinks I'm an Indian. What can I do for you, boys?
Just stay where you are, sir. We'll have the fire out in a minute.
Yes, fire?
Just one of your rear brakes. That extinguisher, Mike.
Oh.
Yes, Ed. Hey, button your coat. It's the commissioner.
Thanks.
What's going on back there, boy?
Nothing to get excited about, Chief. One of the brakes must have locked.
Oh, my goodness. It's lucky you put it out before it got to that box of rabbits. I better look to see how they are, Uncle.
No, Leroy, they're probably sleeping. Let's let sleeping rabbits lie.
I don't think any harm was done. You'll just watch your brakes for a ways, Chief.
Well, thank you very much, boys. Anytime I can do anything for you, I've got a card here someplace.
Oh, we know who you are.
Oh, you do? Well, I never knew I was that famous.
Sure, you're a big man in this state. Sid, he'd be a big man in any state.
Yeah. Well, I got to be getting along now. Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, sir.
Now, there's a genuine guy, the commissioner.
Yeah, don't act no different than you and me.
You or I, Sid.
Huh?
You know, he's a lot better looking than his pictures do him justice.
Yeah. But don't you think he's a little fatter?
No, not fatter, Sid. Heavier setter. You see, fatter isn't a respectful way to describe a state commissioner.
Yeah, but on him it looks good. Well, let's get into the heap and start rolling again.
Yeah.
Attention all highway patrols.
Hey, listen.
Be on lookout for large gray sedan, license 4X669.
That number's familiar.
A state car assigned to Highway Commissioner Toby.
Oh, the guy that was just here.
Taken from Junction Grill an hour ago by a stout man and a small boy with a black mustache.
A small boy with a black mustache. Hey, that's the guy who... Why, that fat rat...
Handle situation with care, boys. Rear end of car is loaded with explosives.
Come on, Mike. Let's go get him. There they are, right up ahead. Get closer. Hey, what are you doing? Shooting at the rear tires. Hey, wait a minute. That car's full of explosives. Oh, my gosh. Don't get too close, Mike. Okay, I'll drop back, but what do we do? Say, look at him go. Let's trail him till he slows up. If he slows up before he blows up.
Making good time, my boy. I thought we better stop here in Millville and get some gasoline. Where is that attendant?
I think I'll get out and take a look at the rabbits, Uncle Moore.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That road was so rough, I bet those hairs stood on end. Oh, say, Leroy, the police chaps again.
All right, stick them up, you two.
Yeah, me first, you know, stick them up.
Oh, hello, boys. Practicing?
Get them up quick, fatso.
If fatso?
Say, what's the idea?
You two, get them up. Now search them, Mike.
Here. You needn't be so rough. You've broken a couple of my cigars.
Well, they haven't got any guns on them, Sid.
Okay. Put down your hands. But don't pull any funny business, you two.
What's the meaning of this unwarranted outrage?
Hey, get him.
Yes.
That's what we did, didn't we? You stole the highway commissioner's car and it's loaded with explosives.
Yes. What's this about the commissioner's car?
Take a peek at those official license plates.
Huh? Yes.
Well, gee, Unc, how did they get there?
They were framed. I mean, we were framed, Leroy. Well, at least there's nothing to this explosive nonsense. You officers can look in the rear compartment and see for yourselves.
Okay, take a look, Sid.
Sure.
Won't he be surprised, Leroy?
You see, it's just rabbits, officer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Come here, Mike. Does this look like rabbits to you?
Nah, to me it looks like a case of explosives.
Well, if you were a rabbit and went through what we've been through, you'd feel like exploding yourself.
Why don't you come back here and look for yourself?
Yes, come on. Let's show these stupid... Oh, my goodness, Leroy.
Uncle, what you trembling like that for?
Look at that box. Blasting powder. Whose car is this? Who slipped it to me? How did that dynamite get in there?
That's what we aim to find out, brother.
Good. Who'll we ask?
You.
Me?
Yes, come on.
Say, where are you taking us?
To the Millville police station. You're going to hold a little quiz, kid.
Yes, sir. There must be a reasonable explanation for all this. You telephone our home in Summerfield so that our maid can identify us?
Now, just keep your shirt on, Stumpy.
Yep.
I put in a call a few minutes ago. But that's it now.
Oh, thank goodness. Bertie will clear this right up, Leroy.
Hello.
Hello, who's this calling?
Long distance from Millville.
Oh, I know the answer to that one. It sure is.
This is the police department. We're holding a man with a stolen car loaded with explosives. He claims to be Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Mr. Gildersleeve ain't in Millville. He done took the train for Fairview today.
Oh, he took the train, huh?
The train? Ooh, I've got to tell her about that. Let me go.
You get away from this phone. This man claims he drove this car as far as Junction City.
Oh, that can't be. Mr. Gildersleeve's car's resting right here in the garage.
Well, in that case, I was right all along. Sorry I troubled you. Goodbye.
Hey, goodbye. Wait a minute. Well, why did you hang up?
Oh, look, you, I've had enough of this. Who do you think you are trying to run things and act so insolent and arrogant?
The police?
Yeah. Mike, put these two in separate cells till morning.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Oh, hello, Commissioner Toby.
Yeah.
Well, I recovered your car for you, sir.
Yes, I know. Where's the man who took it?
Here I am. Hello, Commissioner.
Oh, so it was the little critic of the state highway system, the little road runner down there.
Oh.
Well, I'm only thankful nothing happened to my car with all that blasting powder in the back.
Yes. What do you mean by letting me carry dangerous explosives?
Oh, dry up, you big wet blanket. You ought to be thankful you're getting out of this mess without going to jail.
You mean you don't want him held, Commissioner?
No, this man just made an innocent mistake. It was stupid, but I don't think it was intentional. Come on outside, Gildersleeve, and we'll trade cards.
Yes, all right. Hey, good night, Captain. Thanks for the hospitality.
Yeah,
something he ain't, no doubt. After you, Commissioner. Come on, Leroy.
Hey, I better make sure my rabbits are all right.
Oh, don't worry. They're safe, my boy.
Oh, did you have a look at them?
I'll say I did, and they jumped right out of the box and escaped.
Escaped?
And now, don't worry. We called out a road gang and rounded them all up again.
Oh.
Took the best part of 2 hours.
Gee, I hope nothing happened to them.
Now, they're all right. None the worse for the little romp. They're in fine condition, all 7 of them.
Yes. 7? But we only had 4 rabbits to begin with. Commissioner, you found too many.
Hello, operator. Quick, give me the police department. Police? This is 747 Parkside Avenue, and something's happened here. Didn't you phone me about a man who said he was Mr. Gildersleeve in a stolen car? Well, some policeman did. Well, anyhow, I went back to bed, and I tossed, and I turned, and I turned, and I... Okay, I'll get to the point. I got up, and I went out to the garage to see if it was there, and it wasn't. No, the garage was there all right, but nothing else was. What do you mean, be more specific? Oh, well, somebody sneaked in and stole all of Mr. Gilsey's 4 beautiful, brand new retreads. Hello, wait a minute, I ain't through yet. At the time these tires were stolen, they was attached to Mr. Gilsey's automobile.
Leroy, quit pinching me. What's the big idea?
I'm afraid you'll fall asleep.
Well, don't worry. If I want to sleep, I'll pull over to the side of the road.
Yeah, but the trouble is you'll pull over after you've fallen asleep.
Oh, by George, it's 2 in the morning. I'd stop right now. It would make us late for that rabbit. What's that noise?
It looks like a cop, huh?
Not a cop. The police have been on my neck tonight like a muffler. Well, this time they can't find anything wrong. I'm driving under 40. My lights are all right. It's my own car.
All right, pull over to the side of the road.
Oh, yeah. Pull over, Leroy.
Jeepers, I wonder what it is now.
Probably some officer who hadn't heard that everything's been straightened out between Commissioner Toby and me.
You know, I'm beginning to be afraid of cops.
Oh, poppycock. You watch me handle this fellow. I'll get rid of him inside of 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 2 minutes. You can time me, Leroy. But you can't hold us any longer, officer. We've been here for 2 hours already.
2 and a half, Unc. I'm still timing you.
Yes. But look, officer, and you too, Captain. Here, Captain, wake up when I'm talking to you.
Huh? What? Who? You here again? How many times?
No, I'm still here. It's just the second time. How soon are you going to set us free?
I can't do anything until we hear this party in Somerville who turned in the stolen car report.
When they call, let me talk to them, please. I'd like to get my hands on anybody who says I stole my own automobile. Why, I'll... Oh, yes.
Hello, Millville Police Station. Captain Webster speaking.
Are you calling the Gildersleeve residence?
I don't know. Did you report a stolen car earlier in the night?
I most certainly did. You catch it?
Yes, but the driver claims he's the owner, Gildersleeve.
That's the second burglar that did that tonight, and this is getting monotonous.
Well, he claims that you can identify him. I'm going to put him on. Here you are.
Thank you. No, see here, Bertie. What's the idea of having the police chase me clear across the state?
Mr. Gildersleeve, what you doing in the pokey?
Yeah, huh? You ought to know you put me in this pokey. Leroy and I took the car instead of the train.
Oh, you took it. And I thought it was some of them rubber robbers.
Yes.
I wish you'd have told me.
Yes, so do I now. We'd have been in Fairview by now if you hadn't had us arrested for stealing our own automobile. Now, you tell the captain here that I'm all right. Here you are, Captain.
Yeah. Well, what about this man?
Yeah.
Oh, that's his car, all right. He's my employer. At least he was as of our most recent conversation. I better hang up before he decides to change the status quo and make me a member of the alumni.
Well, Gildersleeve, that looks like a clean bill of health for you. I guess you can go now.
Oh, thank goodness. Come on, Leroy. It's time we got to...
Yeah, take your hands off me. I tell you, I didn't steal that car. It's mine. I'm State Highway Commissioner Francis X. Toby.
Oh, yeah? Well, we had another guy tonight who was also supposed to be the commissioner.
Oh, but that was... Oh, hello there, Captain. Tell this lunkhead who I am.
Well, hello, Commissioner. They got you, too, I see.
Oh. Yes, Gildersleeve, for stealing your car.
Well.
I told this balloon brain I was innocent, but he wouldn't believe me. Not even when we arrived here and I showed him your car. Huh? Well, I parked right next to it and I said, look.
I don't care. Orders is orders.
Mike, this man is the commissioner, all right.
Huh? Just my luck.
Well, now that everything's straightened out, we better be going. I'll have to drive 70 miles an hour if I'm... Oh, I forgot. The speed limit is 50, isn't it? Well, come on, Leroy. Let's go. Where's Leroy? Oh, I'd give a lot right now if I could say, move over, Leroy. Well, Leroy, this must be it. Let's see, yes. The Fairview Convention Hall, exhibitor's entrance.
Yeah, we just made it, too.
Your passes, please, sir.
Your passes? Oh, yes, you have them, I believe, Leroy.
Yeah, that's right, Uncle Mort. Here you are, sir.
Yeah, just 1 second, sir. I'll open the envelope, please.
Yes, it's Porter, I guess.
I'm sorry, folks, but these here appears to be the wrong kind of tickets.
Let me see. Oh, suffering whales, Leroy. These are our railroad tickets.
What? Well, I've had them, and we could have come by train all the time.
Yeah.
Well, then what did we send to Cousin Flora?
The rabbit show passes, I guess. Well, at least we're here anyway.
Yeah, that's true. What do we do about getting in, though?
I'll arrange it. Hey, Porter. If you'll help us with this box of rabbits.
Yes, I'll be glad to.
Yeah, you bring the box in, that you'll find it in the rear compartment, and we'll go and find the manager.
Gladly, sir, yes.
What's the matter? Can't you budge him? Here, let me help you. Oh, my gosh, Leroy. Danger, explosives. It's the commissioner's car again.
Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few minutes.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Cousin Flora will be home when relatives come to visit.
What do we do now, Uncle Mort?
Oh, we'll kill time till dinner, then come back and see if they're home yet. What would you like to do, Leroy?
Well, how about seeing a movie? We passed a swell one on the way out here.
A movie? Is that so? What's the title?
Look Who's Laughing.
Oh, that one, yeah. Well, it's playing all over these days, isn't it? All right, let's go. Sounds very amusing. Who's in it?
Oh, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, anybody else?
Yeah, Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen.
Is that all?
Oh, no, there's Mrs. Uppington and... Harlow Wilcox and Lucille Ball.
Well, well, yes, yes. Go on, Leroy.
Oh, I almost forgot. And Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
That's right.
Look Who's Laughing.
Yeah, good night, folks.
Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by William Randolph. This is Jim Bannon speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to be with us again next week at the same time for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
From January of 1942, there's the old car thief himself, Gildy, the Great Gildersleeve. In a moment, adventure out west with Hopalong Cassidy on this edition of Yesteryear.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Hopalong Cassidy came to Mutual in January of 1950 after early day television screenings of the 1930s films had made the character a national sensation. Harry Sherman got film rights and hired William Boyd to play the role of Hoppy. Under Boyd, Hoppy would never smoke, always believed in fair play, and forever refused to touch liquor. Hopalong Cassidy was a distinctive cowboy detective show, for listeners seldom knew the identity of the evil ones until Hoppy tripped them up and brought them to justice. Hoppy was foreman of the Bar 20 Ranch, but spent far more time chasing criminals than punching cows. Hopalong's adventure companion was grizzled old California Carlson, played by Andy Clyde. First heard Sundays for General Mills, Cassidy moved to Saturday on CBS from 1950 to 1952. Here now, from February of 1950, Hoppy Takes a Chance. It's Adventure Out West with Hopalong Cassidy.
It's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And appearing as that laughable old character, California, is Andy Clyde. Now to our story, Hoppy Takes a Chance. September at the Bar 20, like all cattle ranchers, is a happy month for the line riders, the lonely cowboys whose duty it is to patrol the boundaries of the ranch and see to it that the outfit stock stays on the reservation. It's a happy time because it marks the end of the season for them and the friendly atmosphere of the ranch house just around the corner. But Bob Cranston was different from the rest. There was a frown on his face as Hoppy rode up to him on the ridge south of the Bar 20 ranch house.
Hi there, Wally. How's it going?
Can't complain, Hoppy.
Good. I figure on sending you out at sunup tomorrow. Make a circuit of the ranch boundaries, run down the strays, and kick any of Salinger's cows back onto their own territory. Take you a week or so.
Okay, boss.
How do you like the new job?
Fine, I reckon. Wondered if I might keep right at it on through the winter after cutting out in Brandon.
You mean you want that winter job?
Sure, why not?
Bucking the snowdrift, running down weak dogies in a blizzard. Most of my boys yammer like a stuck pig when I hand them an assignment like that.
Well, I don't know. I ain't much of a hand around the ranch house. Like to be off by myself. I don't mind the cold. If you'd give me the job, I'd sure work at it, Hoppy.
Well, brother, if you want it, you get it. Come on, Topper, let's get back to headquarters. Sheriff, what are you doing here?
Oh, just dropping by on a friendly call, Hoppy. You know Shelby Salinger here?
Sure. Hello, Mr. Salinger. Have a chair.
Thanks. How are you, Cassidy?
Great. I sent one of my line riders out to hustle your stock back on the reservation. Seems an awful lot of Circle C cows like Bar 20 grass better than they own.
Save your rider a lot of work, Cassidy. I sold them off last week. I needed the money.
I see.
Yeah, Mr. Salinger got payment before delivery and shipped $12,000 out by stage day before yesterday, Hoppy.
Yeah.
Pay off a loan on his ranch.
Yeah?
It didn't get very far.
What do you mean?
About as far as the blind turn on the stage road. Road agent shot the driver outright.
Wait a minute. Clem Yates was guard on that stage.
Shot him down in cold blood.
Clem? How could anybody...
Yeah, that's the way we all feel, Hoppy. Folks in town are ready for a lynching.
You got any leads?
We know who it is.
His name's Johnny McCarver.
Is that so?
Yeah.
We talked to the only passenger on the stage, a girl named Van Richards. She described him for us.
Who is this McIver?
Young fella, about 25 or so. Just got out of prison. Came through this part of the country a few days ago looking for a job. We wondered if he came by here.
I'll keep on the lookout for him, Sheriff.
The townspeople have put up a reward.
Well, if he shot Clem Yates, that's all the encouragement I need.
We can sure use your help, Bobby.
You'll get it, Sheriff.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Goodbye. California.
Huh? Oh, how are you, Hoppy? I was just frying up half a dozen eggs here to tide me over till dinner.
Forget your stomach for once.
Hoppy, eggs is brain.
I don't need your brain. I need the seat of your pants and the saddle right now.
What's up?
I want you to ride down the South Ridge and pick up Bob Cranston.
You mean the new hand you put on yesterday?
That's right. I want to find out why he calls himself Cranston when his real name is Johnny McIver.
Thank you.
back to Hop Along Cassidy and our story, Hoppy Takes a Chance. Two men have been murdered. One of them, the beloved Clem Yates, when the mail stage out of Baker's Crossing was held up and robbed by a masked bandit. The sheriff and the townspeople are sure the robber is Johnny McIver, a young ex-convict. And while they scour the country for him, Hoppy is talking to him in the main room of the Bar 20 Ranch House.
You've got to believe me, Hoppy. I had nothing to do with this. I didn't
Take it easy, Bob. I'm not accusing you yet.
How come you changed your handle, Sonny? Seems to me we hired a hand named Bob Cranston.
I told you, California. People just can't deal an ex-convict a straight hand.
Well, I can understand that. But you didn't need a new name around here. We take a man for what he is, not what he used to be.
I wish they were all like you. Mr. Selinger didn't look at it that way.
Selinger?
Yeah. When I first got to town a few days ago, I hit him for a job.
When was that?
Let me see. Wednesday afternoon.
And the stage was held up that night at 8. What did Selinger tell you?
He told me to come back about 10 o'clock. Said he'd let me know then.
So you went back, huh?
Yeah, I started back from town about 7. Didn't see anyone till I got to that place where it fords the creek. You know, there's a grove of cottonwoods there.
Yep, I know the place.
There was a fire going and a couple of men boiling up some coffee. They said they were from Selinger's ranch.
What did they look like?
One of them was heavy set, wore a pair of side whiskers.
That'd be Sam Wellman.
Who?
Selinger's ranch foreman. What about the other one?
He was redheaded, kind of short.
Yeah, it's Red Conroy. What happened then?
They told me Selinger wasn't back to the ranch yet. Asked me to have a cup of coffee with him. It was pretty chilly, and I figured a cup of coffee would taste good, so...
So you accepted the invitation?
Yeah. They said Mr. Selinger had passed right by there on his way back. Well, we sat around a while, then the redhead pulled out a pack of cards and suggested a game.
Uh-oh. Them fellas are sure death at poker.
Huh?
Red and Sam are a couple of pretty slick poker players. How much did you lose?
I didn't lose. I won $300.
Sonny, you're wasting your time as a cowpoke. Anyone who can skin them coyotes that draw poker is...
Wait a minute, California. You, pretty good at poker, Bob?
Oh, just fair. They played pretty stupid. I took $100 pot with a pair of tens.
Huh? Playing against Red Conroy and Sam Wellman?
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this makes sense. What did you do with the $300, Bob?
I saved it. They told me a lot of places I could blow it in town, but I didn't...
They did, huh?
Now, what's that got to do with it, Hoppy?
I'm not sure yet, but I got an idea. A coach was robbed at 8 o'clock. Where were you at that time, Bob?
That was about 30 minutes before I met the two men. I was at the trail quite a piece.
Alone. No alibi.
I guess not.
About a half hour after the robbery, you run on to Red and Sam and win $300 from them at poker. They figure, of course, you'll roll into town and blow it sky high. When did Selinger finally show up?
I don't know. About 10, I guess.
And he turned you down?
Yeah. Said he didn't want any truck with jailbirds.
I see. Well, before we start out, I want you to know I'm going to give you every break I can. To tell them the truth, I'll stand up with you against the whole town. If you're not...
I'm not worrying about that, Hoppy.
Okay, let's get going.
Where?
The blind pen on the stage road where the coach was robbed. Maybe we can find a few tracks. Bob?
Yeah?
You can check your gun here at the ranch house. California and I'll take care of any shooting that has to be done.
Any luck, Hoppy?
No, not a chance to find any tracks on the road here. Someone came through here with a bunch of cattle after it happened.
That was Selinger. That bunch of steers he just sold.
Tell me something, California.
Anything you want, Hoppy. My brain's at your service.
Well, harness it up for a minute. You plan to hold up the mail coach here. Where would you hide out?
Well, that's a cinch. Right behind the tree yonder.
That's what I thought. Come on.
Hey, I sit over there behind the tree.
Sure. So naturally, a smart bandit would hide up in those rocks above the turn.
Hop along, Cassidy, so help
Don't
me.
Don't get insulted, California. You got a wonderful pair of feet.
Pretty hard to find any tracks in these granite rocks, Hoppy.
Yeah, especially when the robber was careful not to make any. Getting pretty dark now, too. You got a match, Bob?
No, I don't carry him.
Oh. Well, no use looking around here in the dark. May as well ride over to that cottonwood grove by the creek. See if there's anything left of that campfire that you sat around.
No, Dice, Hoppy. There ain't a thing to show anyone's been here. Not a track, not a sign of a campfire.
But I told you the truth, Hoppy. I was here. Someone's cleaned the place up.
I know it.
Huh?
You mean you believe me?
I think I believed you from the first, Bob. Now I got proof.
But we ain't found a thing, Hoppy. Now, how can you...
That's just it. Not what we found, it's what we didn't find.
What do you mean?
One of our line riders uses this place regularly. Builds his fire right here in the clearing. The ashes would be here if someone didn't have a reason for cleaning them up. They knew Bob had come here with a story. They wanted to make a liar out of him.
You mean Sam and Red?
Yeah. And thank that the blind turn. We didn't find any tracks on that granite. But I found something else.
What was that?
That's why I asked you for that match. I never saw a cigarette smoker yet who didn't carry matches. One of the robbers left this behind.
Well, I'll be a cigarette butt.
Yeah.
You think it was Sam and Red?
And someone else. The man who planned the job. I can't think of a single reason why a man would drive a herd of cattle 6 miles out of the way. Unless there were some embarrassing tracks he wanted to cover up.
Lord almighty. Salinger.
That's right. Salinger.
Hoppy, amigo, you come here to my fiesta saloon once in the blue moon. Estas Perella, she is on me.
I'm afraid I haven't time for a drink, Mike. I got a lot of things on my mind right now.
You tell Mike the sicko, eh? Maybe I help, quién sabe.
What do you know about Salinger, Mike? Seems to me he was up against us for money for a while back.
Why do you ask, Hoppy?
That's pretty important right now. There's a kid named Johnny McIver.
That kid, he make one big mistake when he killed Clem Yates.
You think he did it?
The whole town thinks so. His life, she's worth 2 centavos, maybe less.
You know why, Mike? Because the kid has a prison record.
See.
Si. He's the second man who came to Baker's Crossing with a record, Mike.
See. Si.
And he feels like you did when you got out. He wants to go straight if the people here let him alone.
You have kept our secret well these 10 years, Hoppy. But why do you ask about Salinger?
Because I think you know how bad he needs money.
See, he tried to borrow $10,000 from me 2 weeks ago. His rancho, the Circle C, she's in one bad fix.
That's what I thought. But he got his money, Mike.
Yeah? What do you mean?
He figured by shipping that cattle money express and robbing the stage, he'd collect from Wells Fargo, too. Nice way to double your money. You got a young ex-convict handy to take the blame.
Madre de Dios, you mean Salinger?
Yeah, with Red Conroy and Sam Wellman to give him a hand.
Hoppy, you can prove this?
There was one passenger on the stage. A girl named Ann Richard. I think she knows more than she's telling.
Oh, but the word of a young senorita against Salinger. No, she's no good, Hoppy. She's not enough.
Mike.
See?
That's just why I came to see you.
Before we continue with this exciting story, here is a word from your announcer.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now back to Hop Along Cassidy and Hoppy Takes a Chance. Hoppy is sure now that Shelby Salinger and his two henchmen engineered the robbery of the mail stage carrying his own money, knowing that Johnny McIver, a young ex-convict, would be blamed. But it's quite another matter to prove it. That's why Hoppy has called on Ann Richards, the one passenger on the stage during the robbery and the only living witness.
Please, Mr. Cassidy, that's all I know. It's just as I told the sheriff.
I tell you, I want to know the truth, Miss Richards. I want to know exactly what happened on that stage from the minute the driver pulled up at that blind corner.
But I've told you...
You told me what someone's forcing you to say.
Hoppy!
Yeah?
Fred Conroy, standing across the street. I just seen him through the window.
I know.
Huh?
I made sure he saw me come here. Keep an eye on him.
Sure, Hoppy. Oh, I sure wish I knew what was going on.
You know what you're doing, Mr. Cassidy. He's watching this house. He'll do anything. Kill me. Anything.
Wait a minute, Miss Richards. I wonder if you know what you're doing.
I tell you, he'll kill me. Do you understand that? He'll stop at nothing.
Listen to me. You're the only witness to that robbery. Because you said so, they're out looking for one man instead of three. Because you said so, they'll hang Johnny McIver. Because he happens to have a prison record and no alibi.
I can't help it. I can't.
If you want it in plain English, Miss Richards, you're yellow. You're willing to let an innocent man hang to save your own skin.
But it's too late to do anything now. The people are ready to lynch him. I can't stop them. What can I do now?
You can tell me really what happened out there at that blind corner.
You're right, Mr. Cassidy. I guess I am a coward. I don't know. When they came here and threatened me.
Who?
Conroy and Wellman. They said they'd kill me if I didn't tell the story the way they wanted it.
Well, let's have it now.
There wasn't just one man, Mr. Cassidy. There were two.
Conroy and Wellman.
I think so. I couldn't identify them out there on the road. They wore masks. And one kept calling the other McIver.
I see.
I was inside the coach when they forced Clem Yates to get down. He was right next to the window. I heard him say, McIver? You're not McIver.
Then what?
That's when the shot came.
Hey, he's coming across the street.
There he is now. Get behind the door when I open it. You know what to do. Stay right here, Miss Richards.
Oh.
Ready?
By the rip. Hello, Cassidy.
Conroy, what can I do for you?
I can talk better inside. Especially with a gun in my hand.
You think that's going to get you anywhere, Red?
Put your hands up, Cassidy. That's better. You know, you've got a bad habit. Messing around in things that ain't your business. And I'm going to break you of that right now. Before you get your nose caught in somebody's keyhole. Keep those hands up, Cassidy. Did you hear what I said? Oh.
Nice work, California.
Hit him too hard. My gun butt will never be the same.
Mr. Cassidy.
You see, Miss Richards, these tough guys aren't so bad when you use the right kind of diplomacy. Get some rope out back, California. We're going to truss this turkey up so that he won't come undone till roasting time.
Right, Buffy.
Why are you going through his pockets?
Ah, here we are.
A letter?
Yeah. It ought to be just what the doctor ordered. You see, Miss Richards, we can hook Red and Sam on your testimony. But there's no way we can touch Salinger. That is, unless either Red or Sam decide to talk.
They'll never do that. You don't know them, Mr. Cassidy.
And Miss Richards, you don't know Mike DeCicco.
So, she's changed the story, huh?
Yeah.
Muy bueno.
But not good enough. I want Salinger, too. And if she tells her story now, we'll lose any chance of getting him.
Wait.
Huh?
Don't turn around. The sheriff just came in.
Quick, take this.
Okay?
A letter Red Conroy wrote to a girl in Council City.
Ah, bueno.
Morning, Hoppy.
Oh, howdy, Sheriff. Anything new?
Been keeping mighty busy, Hoppy.
Me too. Got no business hanging around the fiesta here. Gotta get on back to the ranch.
Just a minute, Hoppy.
Huh?
Don't run off. But you might like to know Johnny McIver was spotted by a posseman an hour ago, riding line on the Bar 20.
Which means what?
Which means you're under arrest, concealing and giving shelter to a public enemy. Sorry, Hoppy, but you're going to jail.
What can I do for you, gents?
Howdy. I'm California Carson. This here's Mike DeCicco. I'd like to see you hop along Cassidy, if you don't mind.
Well, I don't know. Sheriff said no one's to see him.
What, Jay? That means why not in Mexico.
Already told you. Sheriff said no one's to see him.
Well, nothing to do but wait until the sheriff gets back in.
I can so. Mind if we sit down?
The country here's public property. Sit anywhere you please.
Gracias.
That means thanks in Mexico. You sit in the chair there, and Mike and I'll sit in this here packing box.
Excuse me a minute, gents. I just want to check up on the prisoner.
Mike, did you get a look at them cell keys hanging from his belt?
See?
Can you get them?
Can I get them? At the age of 6, I was the second best pickpocket in Mexico City.
Who was the best?
My papa. We'll get him when he sits down. You pull the chair and grab his gun, no?
Here it comes.
Stone walls do not a prison make, the fella says. Ain't never seen the baker's cross in jail, I reckon.
Poor old Hoppy. Wonder if he's had his dinner.
Oh, don't worry. Sheriff will bring him something when he gets back. Say, the fella play cards? Thought we might have a game while we're waiting. Got a deck right here someplace and draw the deck. Oh, yes, here we are.
Maybe a little penny ante, no?
Tenth of a cent I always play. Now...
Suffering snake, sir. You hurt yourself?
Let me help you.
That chair went right out from under me. Don't know what happened.
Here, I'll give you a hand.
Foot slipped under the desk, caught on something down there. Now, what's in tarnation?
What's the matter here? You're stuck.
Got my foot jammed in the spittoon. Trapped like a rat.
No dice. Oh, let me get a new hold here.
That won't work neither, only making my leg longer. Car, move the desk.
Yes, so. There she goes.
Consign it, get off of that foot, you crazy spittoon. Get off it.
Hey.
Ain't had a whirl like that since I stepped in a bar trap one winter in Montana. Let's get the desk back under season. Hey.
What's the matter?
Where's the other feller?
You mean Mike. Well, doggone, looks like he went.
Trying to pull the wool over my eyes, eh? He's back there at Cassidy's cell, that's where he is. I'll show that fella rules of rules.
Yeah, by golly, you show him. What do you see?
Look at that. Door's open. Tag busted. He took my keys.
Well, I'll take a look inside. Maybe Hoppy's hiding under the bed or something.
I can't sound it. I can see, can't I? She's as empty as the day she was made. Hey! Over there! Open the door! Get me out of here!
Hey, Hoppy, you got him?
Sure, I got him.
Come on, let's get going. Yeah, we haven't much time.
Wait a minute, you varmint. Help me.
Adios, amigo.
Adios. What does that mean?
It's goodbye in Mexican.
Let's show you up here now.
We'll tell you what justice is, Sheriff.
Quiet, everyone. It's my duty to see justice is done. That's why I've come out here to the Bar 20 after Johnny McIver. If he's found guilty by a jury after he's had a fair trial, he'll get the full punishment under the law. And not until...
We'll give you 5 minutes to turn him over, Sheriff.
Yes, just 5 minutes.
Getting mighty rough out there, Stillinger. Don't think we can hold out much longer.
He hasn't got a chance.
He don't deserve a chance.
The law says he gets a fair trial, Sam. That mob ain't gonna take him without a fight.
12 men against that mob out there? You're out of your mind, Sheriff.
You got any ideas, Dillinger?
Yeah. You went out on the porch there and grabbed their attention, the kid and I might be able to get away from the rear.
Say, that might work, Sheriff. If we could get him back to the jailhouse, we might be able to hold him off.
And if the mob spotted you?
Well, that's the chance we have to take.
Back to Hopalong Cassidy.
I don't know about that, Stillinger. If you take Johnny McIver out the back way and make a run for it...
Now don't you see it's the only chance? The men you got won't stand up against that mob for 2 minutes.
Well, I guess we'll have to try it. But an awful lot depends on you.
You just leave it to me, Sheriff, and things will turn out just fine.
I'll bring the kid in. Come here, McIver. I want to... Cassidy!
Hello, Sheriff.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I got kind of bored down at the jail. Hello, Stillinger. And Sam Wellman. Welcome to Bar 20. You're just in time for the payoff.
What are you talking about, Cassidy?
This.
What's that?
A little billy do from your pal Red Conroy. Starts out, the following is my true and complete confession on the holdup and murder at the Blind Turn at 8 o'clock on the night of September 12th.
Let me see that.
Not so fast, Stillinger. Want to take a look at it, Sheriff?
Yeah.
It's a trick.
Shut up, Stillinger. It's Red Conroy's handwriting, all right. I gotta tell it a mile away.
What'd you do with him, Cassidy?
He's, taking it easy in town.
And while I stood guard at the bend, Sam Wellman walked up to Clem Yates.
It's a lie. Conroy killed you.
Shut up, Sam.
That double-crosser ain't going to frame me, and you ain't either, Stillinger. I never pulled a trigger. Sam!
Get away from him, Stillinger.
Stillinger shot the driver, Sheriff. It's the truth, or help me. I was keeping watch.
And it was Red who walked up to Clem Yates, huh?
Yeah.
Stay where you are, Stillinger. Keep your hands up.
I'll get you for this, Wellman, so help me,
huh? You ain't getting anyone now, Stillinger. You're going to turn around while I march the two of you out on the porch. Read this confession to the crowd. Come on now. Get going.
Did it work, Hoppy?
Yeah. I was going out on the porch.
It was a mite too close for me, Hoppy.
Me too, California.
How about me?
You got a clean slate now, Bob. From here on in, it's up to you. And you can thank Mike here for small favors.
Oh, it was nothing, amigo. As they say in Mexico, la cuerda se rompe por lo más delgado. The rope she break at the weakest point. Is verdad, no?
Yeah. And we all have another secret to keep. Eh, Mike?
What's that, Hoppy?
That confession of Red Conroy's. Or maybe you didn't know that Mike DeSico, in his heyday, was the best forger west of the Mississippi.
It's mighty peaceful at the Bar 20 now that this Johnny McIver affair is over, But somehow, things never stay that way for very long. Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr.
From February of 1950, Hoppy takes a chance on Hopalong Cassidy. That's all we have time for, but back with you again next week at this very same time as together we enjoy more of the best of the golden age of radio right here on Yesteryear. Till next time, then, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination.